This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, and welcome to everyone who is joining us. Today, we are going to be talking about some great homeschool ideas. And before we get started, we actually have a dual sponsorship today, and that is Media Angels. You can find all kinds of books, classes, and products at mediaangels.com. And also Powerline Productions, which is the company that produces Meredith's books. And Meredith, like myself, is a self-published author. And her website can be found. It's Powerline Prod, PowerlineProd.com. And Meredith has some amazing books. And you can find some of her books at Media Angels as well. But she has plenty of books on her website, and I really recommend that you check them out. And today, my co-host is Meredith, who is on the line. Welcome, Meredith.
Hi, Felice. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here, and I'm excited to talk about homeschooling ideas and just really neat topic.
Yeah, and, you know, this whole month I've taken to just talk about some great ideas within the home and also for business and encouraging your children. So if you enjoy this series, there will be other audios as well. And so this is the audio number is number 72. I finally started numbering them, Meredith, better late than never. And so that makes it easier for people to find them. So it's audio number 72, and it says great homeschooling ideas or great homeschool ideas. So you can find that audio under vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, and there you will also find our show notes, and any links that we've talked about in today's show will be found there as well. Well, today we are going to talk about some great homeschool ideas, and I know I've had plenty of flops, Meredith, as I'm sure you have, because we've both homeschooled for many, many years, and so we won't share those today. We'll just share the ones that have worked the best for us, and I'm going to let you go ahead and start with one of your ideas that has really been a blessing for your family.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we did that was a really fun thing was doing history with another family. And when we started it, all our children were little, and instead of doing a co-op with, you know, several different families, we just decided that we would do history together with one family. And our children were roughly the same age, and so we made history, learning history, age integrated. And I always love to learn different ages learning together at the same time. I just feel like it's more biblical to learn together as a family, to learn different ages together, and it just cultivates so much good fruit. But we had, because it was the two families, we had, two moms with their gifts and skills, but we didn't have a large number of children, so we didn't have to deal with, you know, containment or things like that, and so we really had fun, and we, one year we studied British history, and we found all these neat books we had never heard of before, and we did geography, and the kids made maps of the world from grids, and we did a lot of cooking, and you know, if we were studying a country or a time period, we'd find recipes and we'd make them. And the kids just did all kinds of creative things. They, 1 year they did radio shows for American History. And so every big event they did, of course, that would fit in here. They could, and, they really had fun making sound effects and doing things like that. And, 1 year they made little newspapers and wrote up, different things. And, we read out loud. We read history books, reading books out loud, you know, nonfiction. And then we also read, fiction, and it was just a really fun time. And one of the things that came out of it wasn't just learning history, but it was a lifelong friendship between our two families, and our children are like siblings, and that is really a blessing. You know, in this day and age, so many times we're disconnected from people, or we just know them in a surface way. So, you know, for my children, it enabled them to build some really close friendships. So I thought it was a really fun idea. And like I said, we learned so much about history. So.
Oh, that's really good. And so I'm going to put mine out of order because that was actually my number three. I was going to talk about unit studies and timelines, which is basically what you were talking about. And instead of history, we like to do science unit studies, which makes sense given the curriculum that I wrote. And so ours were focused around some fun experiments that we did and things like that. But when we did our history, we used timelines. So I kind of put them both in the same category because normally when you think about unit studies, you do think about timelines. And I never ever in my life had considered how important that visual is. And when I began homeschooling, I think that was one of the workshops I had gone to at a homeschool conference and learned about timelines. And Amy Pack, who is going to be one of our Mommy Jammy Night speakers in the future, she has a company, and I'll put that link on there because we used a lot of the timeline figures. She's a graphic artist as well. Some she drew, and I think some are stock art. But it was so great to be able to have that tool to use and let the kids have a visual of, you know, what period in time, you know, perhaps a scientist lived, as well as, you know, some other historic figure, you know, having to do with something we studied in history. And it could bring everything together. And, of course, the Bible, that was also on the timeline, the beginning of time, and things like that. And at one point we had it going around the room. And then later on, as I was homeschooling my second group of kids, the two older ones were older, and then, you know, I began all over again. And with those three, we ended up getting these beautiful timeline books. And it was nice because each of them had their own. Yeah, Amy has this wonderful, like, keepsake, Meredith. And now we're passing those down to my grandchildren, and they can add to it and, you know, have stuff that, you know, that the older kids did when they were little. And they're just, you know, such a nice thing to be able to go back and look at and look through and remember. And I also agree with Meredith about unit studies. I know that so many of you are busy, and it's just so much easier to read something out of a book. And, you know, we did use textbooks. I know Meredith uses textbooks, but we tend to use them in high school, and we still tend, both of us, to supplement our textbooks with, you know, some hands-on learning, because that is how the kids are going to remember. And I know the times that, like, for example, in biology, where I was really busy and the kids did some experiments on their own, while they could do them and everything was fine, when I was involved with them, it was, you know, a much richer experience. And, you know, I will bring things in. Sometimes my kids say, well, how do you know that? I've had a kind of a few years of homeschool experience here. Or if I don't know it, then we go and we research it all together, and it makes us, you know, walk away richer again because we've all learned something and been able to take it away, you know, have something to take away with that. So I just highly recommend, unit studies. And, Meredith, you hear people talking, and that is one of the things that people struggle with, especially if they have quite a few children, and that is keeping them all on track and having way too many books. I think unit studies brings everybody together. You can still pull out the older ones and do some separate things with them. But the younger ones can participate on a, of course, much younger level. And that's, something that's really worthwhile.
Oh, I agree with you. I think, if you have more than two children, to try to, teach everyone different level textbooks, it's crazy. And if you really do like textbooks and you don't, you're kind of afraid of unit studies, which you can be when you first get started, then mm-hmm. I would recommend getting the same, studying the same subject. If you're going to use textbooks, for instance, say you're going to do the human body, Apologia has a textbook for late elementary, early middle, and they have a textbook for high school, human anatomy and physiology, and then there are other textbooks from other publishers that are from a Christian perspective for younger children. So you could study the human body and everyone with a different textbook, and then you just have to go in and, you can't go through all of the textbooks, chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. That's what we're doing for a co-op now. So we just took the older kid. We have three textbooks, an elementary, a middle, and a high school. And then we just go by the topic from the high school, and we don't go through the other two textbooks in order. We just go through them so that we're all lined up so that we can all do labs together. And that's worked out, it's not as great as a unit study where we're all learning together, but it's still a lot better than someone's learning chemistry and someone's learning earth science and someone's learning about plants. It's just,
right. It's
too much. So
there
are ways to do that. With history also, you could, do like activities together and then get everyone maybe reading a different history book on their own, and then you come together and then you do all the hands-on activities together. So don't be afraid of unit studies. If you're not ready to take the plunge, that's a way to break into it.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And I had often recommended when I was more on the speaker circuit. I always recommended to people that maybe they don't start with that unless they had some kind of co-op that they could tie into and work that way, because that's also another thing. You don't want to be overwhelmed if this is the first year for you or you haven't always homeschooled and it might be a little bit more difficult than someone who maybe has had a few years under their belt. I do know that people that love unit studies, really, really love them. And so, and sadly, I've talked to parents who have said, well, I know my children would learn better that way, but I just don't want to do them. And so that's what you have to look at, some kind of compromise, maybe getting somebody like Meredith did, a friend, who could work with alongside you, and then after that you can break off a little bit and, try to do more on your own that way, or even, working again, just continuing on with that friend, and that works really well.
You go on, Felice, I was just going to say, your unit studies for science, they lay everything out completely. There's not a lot of planning involved, which I think the biggest thing that scares people is planning. So you can get a prepackaged unit study. You don't have to create them yourself. And, Felice has unit studies. I have unit studies. So anyway, just one more plug for unit studies.
Yeah. And it's true. Ours, did change through the years. The only book that has not completely changed as of this recording, but it is on my desk to change, and that's the anatomy book. But the rest of them, we did break them out into 6 weeks where they're manageable portions, and then we gave the parents what they need to know as far as information goes, and then some books and resources and things like that. There still is planning that's involved, and if you don't want to plan at all, I have audio classes now on creation, anatomy, and astronomy, and geology is not done. So there's always going to be something that I want to get to and just haven't gotten to yet on my list of things to do. But, yeah, but that, you know, there are a lot of resources out there now, and I think that, you know, for parents to, you know, at least give it a try. You can even do a mini unit during the summer and just see how that works out. I even have, like, a little creation camp that's for the younger kids that I did so that, you know, for one thing, if you don't want to do big church camps, although we are involved in one at our church, but sometimes, you know, whatever season it is for your child, you know, you may not want to, you know, go into a really big setting and want to do something at home. And also to introduce creation to my grandchildren on a more hands-on, artsy, and fun way for the little ones. So that's also available. Okay, well, let's go on to your second point. And I absolutely love it and concur that I do this as well. So why don't you share that with us, Meredith?
Okay. my second point was, Felice, I'm going completely blank on my second point.
Okay.
I know my third
building.
Point. I don't know.
It's building a home library is what it is.
Thank you. Oh, it is. I just arrived, for those of you listening, I just arrived back home from North Carolina to visit my aunt, and then we got new furniture. So my house is in complete disarray. Someone gave us some new furniture. So I always have them written down, and I'm looking around for my list, and I know my third one. But home library, I love books. And, in fact, tonight I'm going to be teaching about books from preschool to high school. And so often I go to homeschool conferences, and I hear people say, oh, you know, you can just get these books at the library and things like that. But the truth is, libraries are changing, and they have changed a lot since the 80s when I started, you know, homeschooling. And they don't have a lot of books that, you know, are really good for kids to read. And they actually weed out some of those books. So I really want to encourage everyone. And not only that, there is nothing like filling your home with books and good music and instruments that kids can pick up and play and things like that, because when kids see books in day in and day out, they realize books are valuable, I should read these, you know, it gets them excited. So I do want to encourage you to don't just think about a library, but think about having a library in your home. I would say that over the years, in my homeschooling spending, I spend 75% of my homeschooling budget on purchasing good books and 25% on purchasing curriculum, because I find that good books are my most important curriculum, and they're really necessary for my children to grow up, to love to read, and to read well. What I do is I try to have a collection of, if you think about books and reading through the years, so you start with preschool and babies and toddlers, and you want beautifully illustrated, well-written picture books. I was in a library about 10 years ago, and I went to the children's section, and I pulled out this beautiful, beautiful book with these beautiful girls dancing. I opened the picture book, and it was about witchcraft. I couldn't believe it. And yeah. It was these little witches, and they were casting spells. And so I want to encourage you, there's a lot of good classic children's picture books. And my daughter, who is pregnant with her first baby, she and her other friend Sarah, who's also pregnant with her second, they go shopping at thrift stores, and they find beautiful classic picture books in great condition. But you can also go to library sales. You can go to used bookstores. You can go to garage sales and estate sales. and especially youth curriculum sales. A lot of times people will sell books, and homeschoolers will have, you know, better books than the average family
right.
selling books. So, but then after picture books, you want to get some books that are easy to read, and books like Mrs. Piggy Wiggle and Amelia Bedelia and Encyclopedia Brown and Nate the Great, series like that. Those are all so easy to read, and they're great for the beginning reader. And then after that, you want to move into classics for younger elementary, classics for older, classics for middle school and high school. And books like Charlotte's Web and Little Women and Freckles and the Betsy Casey series and Ballerina Shoes and the Railway Children, Stuart Little, the Little House on the Prairie books, the Anne of Green Gables series. R.M. Ballantyne and G.A. Henty write a lot of action books that boys love. Biographies, you know, at different levels. When my kids get started reading, they love the Childhood of Famous American series of biographies. And my rule of thumb is this. If it was written after 1960, it's probably not written at... It's not as academically good for your children. I mean, not even from a moral point of view. The morals go down too. But it's the writing is dumbed down. So the older you go back, the more intellectual the books are. And when you go back to, say, the 1800s and you read Howard Pyle books, he wrote Robin Hood and His Merry Men and things like that, you'll find that some adults can't read those books because, you know, they just had higher vocabularies, they had better reading skills. And so if you give your children a steady diet, just building up from classics, you know, the older classics from the 1800s and the early 20th century, you are going to find that your children read so well. And they will be able to read books at the age they were written to be enjoyed. Like the Chronicles of Narnia, they were written to be enjoyed by upper elementary school kids, you know, and on up. Any book that is enjoyed by a child can be enjoyed by an adult if it's well written. And so you'll probably want to read along with your kids. But I just want to also say on my website, Joyful and Successful Homeschooling, there's a page of reading lists that you can download, and it lists all these different classic books. And I just can't say enough about how important reading is for your education.
Wow, and we'll have a link to your website on the show notes as well at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. So, yeah. Meredith, I was going to ask, that was my next question, do you have this list somewhere? And you have it, so that's so wonderful. I totally concur with that. I think at some point I had some struggling readers, but we still read these books aloud, so they got that, you know, the good literature, and it also made for great memories. I remember being on vacation one time, and all my son Neil wanted to do was sit in front of the fireplace at the hotel and have me read books. Thinking, oh my gosh, we're on vacation. You know, but it was evening, and that was our routine, was to, you know, and the hotel had a big fireplace like we did at home. And so, you know, for him, that was an automatic, you know, something we do. So you do, you want to create those memories with your children, but have this wonderful library. And that's where my next point is, and we'll go to that before we take a quick commercial break. And that is my point was on, and I scribbled all over here, so I have to find it, but it's on checkoff lists and making lists. So my husband instituted this years ago. I am not typically a checkoff list person. I am a list person, like I'll jot down a grocery list or things I need to do, but I don't, you know, necessarily check them off to have this great sense of fulfillment that I did it, or take everything from my list and put it on a list for the next day, although that was on my, you know, one of the things I was going to do this year was do better at this. So I've gotten somewhat better at it. I have a monthly calendar, and on the monthly calendar it has a place where I can, you know, put a to-do list, and I put like the bigger things that need to get done during the month on that list, not a day-to-day.
Aww.
But he I'm still working on it, Meredith. Get me organized. But he recommended that I do a checkoff list for my children daily because they were not getting everything done that they needed to get done. And so I will have a link, and I'll give you guys a copy of that. I'll do one that's filled out just to give you an idea. And then I have another one that is a blank that you can use to fill in or create one on a word processor yourself. But it was just a godsend because sometimes you flounder or it's after lunch and, you know, everyone's just, you know, full and doesn't, you know, feel like going and getting back to work. And so if you have a list, then you can go through that and say, okay, you know, after lunch we're going to do some reading. Or that's when I used to have my kids read to me, and that was not necessarily a good thing because mom gets really tired. So I'd sit there and be all nice and comfy. You know, it was hard to stay awake. But so, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, you know, have a little bit of a time. And the other thing he recommended was to put how long it should take, because you have some children that it could take them all day to do math. And so if you had, you know, 45 minutes or 35 minutes, you know, after the lesson has been taught to complete that work, then they have a framework of how long they should take. And because I had a couple that had, you know, difficulty staying within that time frame, then he wanted them to put in exactly how long it took. So when they saw that, you know, something that should take 35 minutes was taking 65, they could say, well, it's because I had to sharpen my pencil three times or get up and get a drink of water, or, you know, they could sort of at some point start policing themselves. And I thought that was really a good idea. I did fight him on that for about a year until I finally implemented it. And I thought that is like the greatest thing. It's not just the list I have. They have their own list. And you'll see it's like a week at a glance. And then you just print out another one for the next week. And then along with that is my book and movie list, because I would invariably go to a homeschool conference or go to the store and buy the same book. I know that's probably never happened to you. But it happened to me. And you get really frustrated because you wonder, gosh, do I have this book or don't I have this book? So before I would go to a conference, I would print out my list. And I would have it with me, and then even some of the movies, because we didn't have cable for many, many, many years. I know some of you don't even do TV, which I applaud you, and I wouldn't have TV at all if it were up to me, but it's not. It's up to my husband, who, you know, just likes to relax at night, and, you know, they watch, you know, they don't watch anything normal, but, you know, if we watch a movie or something in the evening. But anyway, that helped me, because then I could not only have a quick list in alphabetical order, but I also categorized them under different topics. So if I was looking for a history book, then I knew what was on the list. And because at the time that we created the list, we had homeschooled for many years, I actually enlisted one of my daughters with a computer at my bookshelf, because we had them, you know, somewhat in order, and, you know, like by category of history or science or, you know, geography. And even today my son said, you know, whatever happened to those fun geography books that we used to do? And I said, well, that only goes up to sixth grade. You know, you're in ninth grade now. But he liked them.
Aww.
You know, he was like, you know, my children that don't get workbooks was a workbook kid. You know, and he goes, well, I want to do more with geography. And he's asked about it before. So I have Mapping the World by Heart that I did with the older two. And that is, you know, it's a great book. It's out of print, I believe, now, but you can probably find it. And then another geography and timeline book. And I'll put the links to both of those in the show notes. But anyway, it was really good to have that list and to have it in a digital format so that I knew where it was and I could add to it. And I do that with the kids' reading list each year. they read so many different books that that's part of what we add when we have our evaluations each year, is they want to see a list of the books the kids have read. So if you're handwriting it and you put it in a notebook and you're really good about that, you know, then I congratulate you. I mean, you're better than my family is with that kind of stuff. Because for us, it's so much better to have it in a digital format, because then at least we can get our hands on it and, you know, make sure you do a backup of your computer if it's just on one computer. But we tend to email ourselves things like that so that in case we need it, it's in an email, and that works out well. Well, Meredith, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to pick up on a couple more points that we want to share with our audience. So hold on.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and e-books about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I'm here with Meredith Curtis, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms, and today we are talking about great homeschool ideas. Both Meredith and I have actually implemented these things and really recommend them to all of you. So, Meredith, we were discussing our final points here. So what is your final point? Do you want me to read it to you? Because I have it right here.
No, I know my final point. My final point is to teach your children to have personal devotions with the Lord. And we start with our kids, number one, by modeling that, by allowing them to see us read the Bible every morning and pray. And my husband has a story that he uses so often in his sermons about, you know, Katie Beth would constantly wake up early and interrupt his quiet time, and he'd be so frustrated, and, you know, he would try to get, you know, try to be real quiet and make sure she slept in and just, you know, do everything he could. And then one day he looked up and she was following him around the room, because he paces when he prays, and she was just imitating him. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "This is your time to model for your daughter what it means to meet with me." And that really stayed with him. And all the other kids did the same. So we start with modeling it ourselves. And then they, when they become toddlers and they're old enough, maybe 3 or 4, even before they read, we get them a picture Bible. And by then they've heard the stories in the picture Bible so much, they just tell themselves the story. They pray a little prayer. And then they sing a song to Jesus. And as they get older and more, we add to that. And finally, by the time they are, reading, we get them a Bible they can read. And very early, they read an actual version, translation of the Bible, and have their own quiet time. And all of my children today have their own personal quiet time with the Lord. And it's something we just train them to do, and we don't have them make it long. You know, we just tell them, hey, you know, just 5 minutes, just whatever's on your heart, pray, read a passage, sing a song. And so we don't make it like a big ordeal, but we instill that as a habit in their life. And we have been very pleased by the outcome of that.
Oh, and that's beautiful. And, you know, I had friends that had quite large families, and they did this. You know, part of it was also for them to have that little bit of a break, whether they had a nursing baby and just needed to devote some time to the baby alone. Because, you know, as the baby gets older, they want to see what's going on, and sometimes it's hard to get the baby fed, you know, when they want to see what's happening in the world around them. And then also,
yes.
You know, it allowed their kids to really hone in on some of the things that they were interested in. I think I've shared with you guys that recently one of my children decided that, you know, he liked movies and video. And this summer he was working on this whole elaborate, you know, Lego thing. I actually blogged about it. And, you know, that was because he had that downtime that, you know, it was we don't have all summer off. You know, we do tend to have a different summer, especially depending on our sports schedule last year. And played on an all-star team, and that was really her first time, whereas the boys have always played on all-star teams. But that took a lot of our time and effort. And so during the summer, I wanted to get some things done, like, you know, the geography might be a big project for this summer that we'll do, or something that, you know, is a little bit out of the ordinary that we can't quite get to with our school day. And so just letting him have some time, you know, after that to do whatever he wanted to do. And, you know, that was, you know, really surprising to me. The other day we sat and he asked me to watch some video with him on how to do some Photoshop kinds of things. And while I didn't understand all of it, I was able to say, well, there has to be a way you can just drag it into the program. And miraculously that worked. You know, he always says I'm more of a techie than he is, but he understands things better than I do. I just, you know, try to figure the easiest way to do it. But yeah, it was great, you know, that he had, and they do, they have time each day where it's just downtime if they want to read something that they want to read, or if they just, you know, want to, you know, pursue something that interests them. And I think that really is important. You know, I was listening to the audio, Meredith, of your commercial, and, you know, where it says that, you know, you want to raise children that love the Lord, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. But that is so important because ultimately that's our goal. And one of my friends was sharing that with me recently. Her daughter, they homeschooled here, and now they live up in Minnesota. And one of her daughters is a nurse and still works. I believe she works like 32 hours a week, which is considered full time. And she still homeschools. You know, she manages to do the nursing in either in the evening or the weekend or two. I forgot how she works her days. But, you know, she was saying to her mom, you know, it's hard. And her mom, you know, and then I think she was also, you know, sharing that she was concerned that they weren't you know, getting as much out of it. And she said, you know, there's only one thing that you need to be concerned about, and that is, you know, their souls. And are they loving and serving the Lord? And that's it. Everything else will come. And that is so true, isn't it, Meredith? In all of this that we're doing,
that is,
you know.
Yes. I agree. That is really true. And I think we get distracted by things. And
right.
We don't realize, you know, what we're doing until it's just there is so much to fill your life up with. And before you know it, your life's filled up and there's no time left for the Lord, you know, and or just
right.
to be a family. So
right.
I think
that
that's
true.
Very important.
And then this last idea I want to share with you, we have really, really enjoyed this, especially when they were younger. But I have to tell you, if you have middle school kids or even high school kids, they're going to want to do it as well. And, you know, every once in a while, I like to recap. It's part of me being a teacher. I think, you know, it's kind of drilled into me, you know, are they really getting what you're trying to teach them? And so every once in a while, I would ask the kids to play this game. And it was a review of the things that we, you know, I had taught that week or maybe even that day if it was something more difficult. Like I remember doing this when we did the parts of a cell. Yes, like, you know, after diagramming that thing with all the squiggly lines and everything and all these new words, you know, like nucleus. And so I said to the kids, okay, put your books away and go stand at the other end of the room. And, you know, we're blessed that we have this big room downstairs that we can do things in. And, you know, if you have a hallway or even go outside, this works really well. You need some space. And so you have to kind of, you prepare a little bit ahead of time, you know, not necessarily with the questions. You can use a book or whatever it is you're teaching from, but do prepare this part of it that I'm going to share with you. So what I would do with the little kids is we would start, like even when the grandkids are over, I will ask them things like, what is your daddy's name? You know, and the little ones will say daddy and that counts. Or some of them will say William, you know, or Bill, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, but they're not allowed to correct each other. So you have to set the rules out that everyone answers and, you know, grandma or whoever's in charge is the only one who can say whether it's right or wrong. You put your little parameters out, and then I would have a piece of paper that I would pull out that if they got the answer correct, then they would take, and it would either be a bunny hop, one step, or a giant step, or a baby step, or whatever it is that you want. You would, you know, put like maybe four things on there. You know, like we didn't do things like cartwheels, but of course the little kids had things they wanted to add. Well, let's do a cartwheel. Well, I can't do a cartwheel. You know, so it kind of evolves into all of that. But and this was just a recent conversation that was, you know, they were all here and, you know, they were inputting some of their, you know, why don't you mix it up a little bit, Grandma? But so I just do the, you know, the four things. So it's one giant step, one baby step, you know, one bunny hop. Or if they're really little, you can, this is where you can arbitrate, you know, look at and say, well, you know, this poor little one is like way behind. So we let him do four bunny hops, you know, and he still maybe, you know, 2 inches. It depends on how big they are. But you can do this with all ages, and then they wait for their turn. You ask a question, and then they can move up. And then if they're having difficulty, you can make, I'm a, you know, a softie, so I want them to succeed. So, you know, I might change the question a little bit. So, and it's, you know, you can even tell the kids, you know, we're going to work really hard, and then afterwards we're going to play our game, and that way, you know, they'll pay a little bit more attention maybe if they're having difficulty or if they have the wiggles, you know, that gets them up and out of their desks. I know we did this for multiplication with the kids because I had one that the child that could not learn her multiplication facts for the life of her. I put her in the other room one time with some flashcards, and I mean, it just, nothing worked for her. A little, let's count M&Ms, let's put them in groups, let's, you know, all of these manipulatives, let's do a multiplication song. Well, she surprised me and said, I might want to be a math teacher. Now, you know, I couldn't believe it. I almost fell over. You know, this is a child that didn't want to or just couldn't learn home multiplication who gets algebra 2, you know, and so, you know, liked geometry and algebra 1. So I guess somehow all those manipulatives did work, even if they, you know, she wasn't very quick with her multiplication. She knew them. It just took her a little bit of time to get that out. So anyway, the games worked really, really well for us. And then when they're older, if you want to play this, you know, it's very easy to just take a marker board and, you know, just put across, and then on one side it, you know, the boys versus the girls. If you have a co-op or something with more kids, or you even pit child against child, I tend to not like to do that too much within the home, because, you know, you have to live with the repercussions of that. And different kids are different, you know. Some could care less if they win or lose, and others, you know, this is a life or death situation. So you're going to have to understand your family and what works for you. I know that, you know, when I taught classes at church, this worked really, really well. In fact, we ended every class with the game. And so it got them excited. It got us talking about and reviewing what we had talked about that day. And it also, you know, they got to leave on a happy note, you know, more so than if it had just been, you know, a regular class. They're, you know, looking at their watches or, you know, worse yet, their cell phones and, you know, wanting to leave. So this way it got everybody up and cheering each other on, and it was fun. So, you know, and there's all kinds of learning games too. We just went through all of our games that I've accumulated for years, and Christina, thankfully, I'm so happy when stuff leaves her home, although my son-in-law told me anything that leaves our home and goes into theirs, we need to have a reciprocal trade. So I said, I don't want anything back, but they've been taking pictures and texting me their pictures of when they're playing, you know, like the state game. And we had a game called Map Tangle, which I found out is now, if you have that game, contact the company, because apparently the map is not made out of, it's made out of something that needs to be replaced. So, yes, because I was going to buy that for one of my nieces. Family, her family, because our little ones liked it so much. We used it in a really wide open area, so, you know, I think that's probably okay. But yeah, I learned it was on recall. But yeah, I think the games do help, because, you know, the kids enjoy that, and it just puts a little bit more of a fun spin. I'm a fun mommy, fun teacher. I like to have fun. I don't like to be bored, so, you know, part of it's for myself as much as it is for them. And, you know, I remember talking to she's a really good friend of mine, and I can safely say this because she's a vintage mom, too, and she's done homeschooling, and hopefully I'll have her on the show at some point, because she's such a wealth of information. But she'd say, you know, learning isn't supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be learning. And I, you know, looked at her and I said, no, you know, it can be both. But, you know, she just ran her homeschool differently, you know, than I did. And she still does our evaluations to this day and does a really good job with them and is really, you know, really positive with the children and everything. But you know, it depends on your philosophy. And you might say, oh, that's just, you know, like unit studies or games or, you know, it's all just too much. But, you know, take what you liked from today's session and implement those things. And if you don't like any of it, that's fine. And also we're looking for your emails. We're looking for, you know, give us your feedback on, you know, what you liked about the show. You can go to our website at Vintage Homeschool Moms, look for Audio 72. You can actually comment on today's broadcast. And you can email me, Felice@mediaangels.com. You can also connect with Felice and Meredith and everyone at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network on Facebook. And I asked a few weeks ago, I believe it was now, for some of your ideas. And many of you did email. And what I was so blessed about, Meredith, was when they did email,
a lot of them I could just email them back and direct them to shows we already had, because I asked for, you know, what would you like us to talk about and what show topics are you looking for? And then the ones that we don't have, we're going to be recording in the next few weeks. So,
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's great. Well, Meredith, did you have anything else that you'd like to add before we end the session?
I don't think so. I think everything was great, and I think if people listening try out some of these things, I think they'll really be blessed and they'll enjoy it.
Yes, and you have a Powerline Productions Facebook page, don't you? Or you?
I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
So,
and if you, it's on Facebook, it's just Powerline Productions, and I will be posting daily Easter devotions starting the Saturday before Palm Sunday all the way through the Sunday after Easter. So if you're interested,
wonderful.
It'll have a scripture and some, you know, a video of a song and some activities that you can do with your family. So if you're interested in that, I'm going to post it on my Powerline Productions Facebook page. If you're wanting to just get all of them, they're already on my blog at MeredithCurtis.com. And on the blog, just look under Easter on the side of all the topics, and you can find that there. So
wonderful. And then Meredith also co-hosts the show on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and it is the Finish Well radio show. So you be sure to go over and listen to that, because it's a monthly show that she's doing right now, and lots of great topics there as well. And that is a show that people can listen to with their teens, isn't it, Meredith?
It really is, and it's geared toward teens and, of course, their parents. And we just did a really great one last week that you can hear on the archives on our page. And that was three homeschool grads all talk about their experience, the good and the bad and the ugly of adjusting to college life. And I think they were completely honest. They didn't sugarcoat anything. And I think you would find it very refreshing to listen to, and to have your teens listen to. It's a great tips in there to prepare, and just some real honesty of what to expect. So I really enjoyed that show, and so many like that, where we have teens on there, parents of teens, and so it's always very practical and helpful for daily life.
Right. And then on her show page also, you can find information about a conference that she hosts every year. And I know that the times and dates change, so I don't want to say that on this podcast, because it's going to make it, you know, obsolete for the next year. So do go to, what is the website for the conference? Is it
finishwellcon.com. And
okay.
It is a blast. And starting out with airsoft and a heart-to-heart session for moms, and then just always practical for the whole family. It's really a family conference, and geared toward homeschooling high school, but yet it covers so much more. So if you're thinking about homeschooling high school, even if it's a few years away, I'd really encourage you to come.
Yeah, and I don't know of any other conference that I've ever participated in where we have that session with the moms before the conference starts, where we can actually get together in small groups. We have my mind just went, Meredith, a group of us that you can ask questions to, you know.
A panel.
You need it with a panel. Thank you. I know, I could see us sitting there. But there's a panel, and then the moms are invited, you know, nursing babies are welcome. And then we break off into groups, and we just ask them if they have any needs or anything they'd like to, you know, share just privately, or if we could just pray for them. And, I mean, there usually isn't a dry eye in that room with everyone who, you know, comes and is needy or is, you know, worried about something. And then we can just start the day with prayer and, pray for them in particular for a need. And it's as much a blessing to me, I know, as it is to the parents, the moms that come.
And I think, you know, that is so unique to your conference that if nothing else, just come for that. You know, of course, everything else is great too. But, you know, it's just a, you know, I'm a little prejudiced here anyway. So you go by me. But, oh, gosh. Okay, well, Meredith, listen, thank you so much. And I will talk to you. It will be the first Tuesday of the month, as usual. We had to move around our schedule here, but no worries for those of you listening in the archives. So, again, big hug to you, Meredith, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.